two blind men had a need. They asked Jesus to do something about that need, and he gave them a very unusual answer. He said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Suppose you had a need tonight and you asked for help and you got that answer. Would your need be met? In this case, it was. He had asked them if they really believed in him, and they said yes. And then he said, then let the situation be according to your faith. Let the results be based upon your faith. If God acted like that toward us today, what kind of results would we have as far as our needs are concerned? Every cause results in an effect. And behind every effect is a cause. For a few minutes tonight, I want us to think about cause and effect in what may be a little bit of an unusual approach, but an approach I hope that will make each one of us stop and think a bit. Just suppose that the cause and the effect were reversed. How would things be in our lives? For example, in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." I believe that verse 11 particularly says exactly what we have either said or thought in the past few days. I would guess that each one of us here tonight has either said or heard somebody else say within the last week, we are so well blessed that we ought to be so very thankful for what we have. It certainly would have been appropriate last Sunday or today for us to spend the entire lesson just talking about Thanksgiving. Sometimes at this time of the year, we do exactly that. And when we talk about Thanksgiving, we try to begin to help us to understand how many blessings we have. We maybe even encourage us to count them one by one, realizing that that is not really possible. And we talk about how that because God has blessed us so much, especially in the country where we live, and even in the section of the country where we live, and because we have so many things, we ought to be so thankful. And we ought to express that thanksgiving in different ways. Through prayer to God, through actions to others and sharing with them. But let me ask you to think for just a moment. If that situation had been reversed this past week, how many blessings would you and I have? If we had let the cause be our thanksgiving and our showing of our thanksgiving, and then the effect be God's blessing us based entirely upon how much we show thanks and how thankful we are, how much food would we have had on the table? How many other blessings would we have had? Is it possible we might have been more like the nine who were healed, who did not return to thank Jesus in that story of Luke 17? How much would you and I have been blessed this week? And perhaps we need to spread it out a little more because of the tendency for us to really say thanks maybe this week and then forget it next week or the next or the next. If during the year of 1996, God had blessed us exactly based upon how we have shown our appreciation and our thanksgiving, what kind of blessings would we have had? I believe all of us are thankful that that's not the case, and that God does not bless us just according to how we deserve. I believe all of us are very grateful tonight that we are blessed out of God's mercy and God's grace, and many times receive the rain on the just and the unjust, and receive many things that we certainly have not earned, and many things that we certainly do not deserve, and maybe many things for which we have not before, during, or after expressed an attitude of thanksgiving. I'm glad that God blesses us in such a way. And I hope that that cause, when we really stop and think about it, will awaken us a bit to where the effect is better than it may have been. To where we never partake of a meal or any other type blessing without in some way, though it may be sometimes in the silence of one's own mind, in some way expressing our appreciation to God. And then letting those blessings from God flow through us to serve other people. I'm glad the cause is God's mercy. And the effect ought to be a grateful people instead of it being the other way around. But I think it would be interesting for each of us, even our younger folks, to stop and think. What would I have received this past week and during this entire year if the cause had been my appreciation and the effect then had been the blessings based upon that? Another area where we might think about this is in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. This is particularly thinking about and talking about our land buying store upon the first day of the week. But I hope as we discuss this that it may remind us of more than that in our relationship to material things. Verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians 16, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now the cause in that particular passage may be twofold. One, that there be no gatherings for the need when I come. But number two, and especially the one I want to emphasize tonight, is that the cause is the prospering. God prospers us. We have the ability to have income, to receive the benefits from our labor. And that which comes into us is what he's talking about when he says that we are prospered. Now he says, because based upon the fact that we are prospered, we ought to give. We ought to lay by in the common store, as far as the work of the church is concerned, that there will be what is necessary to support the preaching of the gospel, but particularly in this case, to help those who were needy. The cause is the prospering, the effect is the giving. But what if, for a little while, God turned it around? And he said, "I'm going to prosper you this next week based upon how you have used your means, and especially how you have given of your means." What would have happened back under the patriarchal law? We do not have a percentage of giving mentioned in the New Testament. I cannot teach tithing as a commandment because it's not there. I have always felt that God is not pleased with our doing less under a better law. And I believe there's something to think about there. But just suppose that you were living at a time when tithing was the standard that at least you had set for yourself. How much would you make this week based upon what you gave to God this week? How much prospering would you have in 1997 if it were based upon what you have given to God in 1996? I dare you to take a piece of paper and put it to the figures. To sit down and put down on a piece of paper what you have given to the Lord's work and then multiply it by 10 or whatever reasonable figure you think would be reasonable in that, and see what your prospering would be in a week's time or a month's time or a year's time if the cause were your giving and the effect were the prospering or the income. And there is a bit of element of that in the scripture, if you'll stop and think about it for a moment. Back in Malachi 3, God said to those under the old law, you bring your tithes and offerings into my storehouse and do not rob me, and I promise you I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out more blessings than you can use. Reason has to be included. Common sense is a factor. And the person who might say, well, I'm just going to give everything to the church and then God will take care of me, is not using good judgment. But there is that factor involved that God has promised. If you remember, even in the New Testament, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. There, God, in a sense, has turned the cause and the effect around a little bit from 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. Young people, if you took what you give to the Lord and multiplied it by 10, how much would you have to live on this week? Fried Hardeman students, worth thinking about. What if the cause and the effect were turned around? How much would you and I have coming in this next week? Let's go to another area of thought as we use this idea. You don't even have to turn to this passage. You know what it says, Matthew 7, verse 12. And I'd like to use it in the paraphrase, as we usually use it, instead of the direct quote. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. As you would that men should do unto you, do you even so unto them, is the way that it's given, at least in one version. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The cause there is what you want from others, and so based upon that, you try to do as you think others would do to you, or maybe specifically as you would want others to do to you. But let's rewrite that just a bit for a moment. What if others did to you exactly what you do to them? What if you really got what you're asking for there? What if other people, all other people, did exactly in your direction what you do in their direction? How many times would you have somebody speak to you tomorrow? How many smiles would you receive as you met other people on the street or in the campus or wherever? If everybody did exactly to you what you do to them, what kind of life would you have? If you get sick tomorrow and people visited you or called you in proportion to the way you have visited the sick and called them, how many visits would you have? If there is a death in the family and people come by the funeral home or your house the same way you do, how many people would visit with you? If one of your young adults gets married and people came to the wedding the same way that you attend weddings, how many would be there? And if there is a shower or a tea and people came or sent gifts in proportion to the way you have come or sent gifts, how many would be there? And what would your son or daughter receive? Something to think about, isn't it? I'm glad that in many instances, good Christian people are somewhat like God on this point, and they're reaching out to do things and to help you and to serve you and to be interested in you no matter what you do. But what if the cause and the effect were changed? Magnifying that point just a little bit, but still staying in our relationships with one another, what if everybody else forgave you just like you forgive them? And perhaps even more important than that, what if God forgave you exactly as you forgive others. It's interesting that the Bible says that he does. Or at least Christ taught his apostles to pray that way. You remember in that prayer that he taught his apostles to pray in Matthew 7, he said, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Have you ever stopped to think about what you're praying if you pray that? Would you be willing to pray that and mean it? Would you be willing for God to forgive you exactly as you forgive others? And would you receive forgiveness from those whom you have wronged if they forgave you exactly based upon the attitude that you have of forgiveness toward them? Somehow or other, we've got to learn that the person who hurts the most is the one who holds a grudge, not the one against whom it is held. That the one who really has the problem is the one who doesn't forgive. What if the cause and the effect were in reality that way? What kind of forgiveness would you and I receive? And God knows we all need it. Perhaps even better than we understand it ourselves. What if God and others forgave you exactly as you forgive others? Let's take it just a step further. What if the love that you received were in proportion to the love that you give? This applies, of course, in our love for one another. And I would hope in our families that we don't wait to see what kind of love we get from a husband or wife. We ought to be thinking about how much we can give. But how would your wife love you if she loved you exactly as you love her? How would your husband love you if he loved you exactly as you love him? Young folks, how would your parents love you and respect you if they did it exactly as you love and respect them? But then let's take it to a higher level. In 1 John 4 at verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And I believe perhaps a better translation from the original Greek in that would be, we love because he first loved us. What's the cause? The love of God, the love of Christ. What's the effect? Our love. How would it be if we turned that completely around? I'm thankful that God does not. But suppose that God said, I'm going to love you in proportion to the way you love me. And I'm going to love you in proportion to the way you love your brother, your fellow man. How much love would we receive from God? Would there be enough for him to send his son? Would there be enough for him to bless us and love us even when we're not so lovable? If he loved us exactly as we love him? Folks, I believe there's something for us to think about in this idea that I've thrown out to you tonight. I am so thankful that this is not the case on all of these points. But what if God blessed us according to our thanksgiving? What if he prospered us based on our giving? What if he helped us and treated us and helped others treat us just like we treat other people? And we received exactly what we give. What if he forgave us exactly as we forgive? And what if he loved us exactly as we love him and love one another? I don't think any of us want it that way. But I believe thinking about it may help us to be better people. And to have more love and forgiveness and desire of service and sacrifice and such qualities in our lives. As we think about that, and especially as we think about being sure that our lives are right with Christ, I want us to use some songs tonight in the scriptural way of admonition. We are to teach and admonish as we sing. And I want you to think about what I've said for the last few minutes as we sing these songs, especially on the point of love. What if God loved us as we love Him? And aren't you thankful that He loves us as He does?
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus.